Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 339. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Really, Steve? I mean, you can't unlisten to this. You can't unhear it. I'm going to be hearing this damn tune for the rest of the weekend.
You'll have to listen to the end of the show, then. You'll have to listen to the whole thing. And Phil Wilson.
Do you feel like you're a member of the Wiggles all of a sudden, Tim?
I was recording 90 minutes earlier than normal, but I have to listen to that?
And Graham Thickens, who actually recorded that, so you're teasing Graham.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. No, I just wanted to do something different.
Well, so
forget
you
the cool jazz, the
Graham
blues.
Graham is not here. You should point out that Graham is not here. You didn't quite have finished that thought. So
setting up the whatever the artworks are that his wife does that we don't know.
Yes. What they, right.
But I'm sure they're quite good.
Yep.
And a good value.
Yes. Well, he should take
stock up for your Christmas.
That's right. Email Graham, find out where the next show is.
And then, as an aside, ask him, what is it she makes?
Yeah. Well, and Phil, you went to MobCon this week.
Yes.
What happened there? Anything interesting?
Yeah, there was a lot of good panels, a lot of good discussion over there at the, I believe it's the Hyatt, right, in Minneapolis. So, I would say probably, it looked like, 200-300 people in the audience.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. So, they always put on a well-marketed event, and I enjoyed having the opportunity to work with Stephen Fluin and some other folks from around Minneapolis on the panel to talk about what's after mobile apps. And so we got to do a whole lot of prognosticating and chatting. So
cool.
Had a good time. So another good event.
So I got a question for you about it. Did they talk, at the outset, sort of talking about MobCon? I noticed that they have MobCon EU coming in April in Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. And they're also doing one on digital health in 2016 here in Minneapolis.
That'll be their second one on digital health.
Right.
I think
they
did that a while back. But yeah, I mean, MentorMate, I think, is trying to brand MobCon and move it out beyond the borders of just the Minneapolis area and take it worldwide and try to put on events around the world. So, if you got the dough to do it. And, they have a strong presence in Bulgaria. A lot of their developers are in Bulgaria. So,
a lot going on here still. It's, we're starting to get some buzz, I think, that Minneapolis is kind of a happening place for tech
just starting. I beg to differ.
We've been on the cutting edge for 20 years.
Exactly.
There you go.
Damn. Right. Skippy.
Well, and our buddy Julio wrote a little bit about the Techni Awards, the Minnesota High Tech Association's awards for innovation.
Jamstick guys walked away with an award, right?
Right, yep. Right.
So, Internet of Things category. That's
how's
impressive
that
or MTHA. MHTA.
MHTA. Yeah.
It is way too early. It's interesting to see that they do have an Internet of Things category for this. I don't recall them ever having one before this year.
No.
I don't think they did.
Well.
But then again, you think about it. Remember when we first started talking about MHTA. They had a text-driven website freemium was a new word to the
I was just going to say that.
so they've come a long way, since.
Well, I remember when the woman who ran MHTA, we went to that conference probably in 2008, 2009, something like that, and she was proudly standing up saying they had a hashtag. And I just remember Gary Kohling, who was at Best Buy at the time, was sitting next to me, and he looked at me and he just said, "Oh, it's a new thing called a hashtag. And they're just rolling their eyes, you know.
It was a whole different organization back then. That's for sure. So, so I suppose you should say that we should credit where credit is due. The Margaret Ankeller has pulled them kicking and screaming into the present. So
Exactly.
I like that. So anyway, Technia Awards handed out. So there's a list. We'll have a link on the website so you can check it out.
Exactly.
And then, Comcast is the mystery employer that was seeking $1.4 million in subsidies.
For their 400 jobs they were going to create.
So anybody do the math on that? What is that? What's that salary per person if it's 400 divided by 1.4 million?
You get a calculator there, don't you?
Yeah, right. I don't think it goes up that high.
Well, I just wonder what, what's really the driver behind this? I mean, it's almost like there's tax subsidies for everything. You know, hey, we're going to remodel the bathrooms. Can we get a tax subsidy? I mean, it's just, not just Comcast. I'm not slamming them specifically, but, you know, this is a company with nearly $70 billion in revenue in 2014 and over $8 billion in net income. And do they really need the $1.4 million in public subsidies? But
well, it all comes down to that wooing of companies. You know, companies will come into a city and say, you know, listen, we want to add jobs, but we think we might want to go to Fresno or something like that. And I don't know. It doesn't, it's, I always kind of feel like sometimes it's a shell game. The fact that, you know, they have a presence here, they have the office facilities, they have it, it's very well could be that their intention is to stay right where they are. Yet they kind of dangle this whole concept of we're going to leave.
Yeah.
Ziggy Wolf got an entire stadium out of the deal. So, I mean, he used that boy himself.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So, and it's not unheard of to take that opportunity, I guess.
Right.
Not sure why they were being so covert about it, other than they thought that it would be bad PR for Comcast to go a-begging.
Yeah, I don't think they were being close-vested about it, though. I really don't.
Well, they weren't identified. The mystery employer wasn't identified to the...
Right, yeah.
Until, so anyway... It's probably, it happens all the time, but, you know, anytime Comcast, which has a bit of a bad rap for customer service, that was sarcasm, a bit of a bad rap, but as far as service goes, probably didn't want to keep, you know, come across as looking for a handout.
Right.
So, well, anywho.
Well, Tate Tim, since you are our resident retail analyst. I have to tell you, I was surprised at these next few stories, a couple about Best Buy, but one about Target online as well. That online sales are struggling, and Best Buy's same store sales have slowed. Ultimately, what do you think's going on?
The demand in the holiday quarter here, which we're in, is not as high as it has been in previous years, and it's affecting everybody across the board, not just Best Buy and Target. So it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens. But Best Buy is cautioning basically flat revenue this quarter, and they've done all their cost cutting, so they don't have any place else to go to make their financials look better.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I think there are a couple of factors that probably might be impacting the retail business right now. I think first and foremost, world events. I think that we're coming off of a couple of months of rather scary times, I guess. Things that make people nervous about what's happening in the world. So I don't think they're ready to rush out and buy their holiday gifts yet. I also think there's a little bit of a backlash from, you know, sales hype and retail and Black Friday and all that sort of stuff. I think people just sort of sit on their dough and don't do anything until, all the hype, dies down a little bit after Black Friday. Am I full of shit, guys, or am I just talking to hear myself talk?
Well, a little bit
I
of
can do
both,
that yeah. anywhere.
A little bit of both, actually, Phil.
But I think too that you know, at some point there's a level of saturation, and you know, with falling gas prices now, you know, that's one of the things that economists are pointing to is keeping inflation at bay. But here's the interesting thing: is that is also fueling, no pun intended, sales of automobiles. So Honda and Toyota posted October sales records. GM's up 16%. Auto Nation rose 14%. You know, they're the big new vehicle retailer. And I got to tell you that just about everybody I know is buying a car. And it's just, you know, maybe it's that capital investment that people are making that is also causing some softening. You know, they're taking on a new debt most likely every month, and mm-hmm. they already have their smartphone. So do I really need the 6S or do I need the new Nexus? I don't necessarily need the new iPad. Oh, I was going to go buy the iPad Pro. Oh, gee, it's not, you know, it's got a black screen of death. So, I mean, you know, maybe there's multiple things going on at the same time.
Well, I think that is, you know, that Target story was somewhat interesting in the fact that it was, you know, the tech side was flagging a bit for Target. But yeah, I think you're right. Well, I mean, there's no more serious obsolescence with devices right now, and your phone from last year works just as good this year. So
yeah, but the Target deal with them missing by a lot in digital is, it's pointed out that their goal was like 40% growth, which is ridiculous.
That's insane. Yeah.
Right. So they did 20, which is not terrible.
Boy, not bad at all. I love that.
And from early returns, we are seeing a very strong demand in online sales this Christmas. So I think we'll see Amazon doing really well, especially as they roll out stuff like their 8 days of Black Friday, which started yesterday. So every day and you get half an hour, I think, lead on everybody else if you're a Prime member. So that sort of way of promotion will, you know, will suck a lot of sales online this year, I think. So you're right. And there are softening categories. Laptops and tablets are soft, and people tend to not buy smartphones for Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons, because they're tied to, provider contracts, you know. So it's going to be rough for both retailers. I think that Best Buy will probably do better than what they're letting on in the final analysis. Jolie is very conservative when he goes into the holiday quarters, you know, historically. So he's trying to downplay what's going to happen. But they may both be fairly flat. We'll have to see, because the entire retail industry looks like it's going to be fairly flat this year again, which it was last year too.
Yeah.
So
too bad.
But you could be right, Phil. It could be world events. It could be saturation. It could be people buying other stuff, you know, like cars.
Right.
So
I still find it. I still find it rather humorous every time I see a commercial for the Black Friday sales event for cars. It's like, really? I don't equate buying a car with Black Friday. I equate, you know, Black Friday with Walmart and Target and, you know, places like that with lines. Right. I don't think there's lines outside the Lexus dealership.
Well, but also, you know, the one thing that we didn't mention is all the sites that I know I get tons of emails from, Stack Social and Groupon and all these different deal sites. 9to5toys.com is another one. And I get these things. And so, you know, often if I'm on the hunt for a product and I get one of these, and the thing I'm looking for is, you know, 50% off as a deal just for the day, I snap it up and do that all the time. But so, yeah, I think it's getting easier and easier to get deals.
It is.
So.
And the deals are pretty good this year, I have to say.
Yeah, they are. They are. Hey, by the way, if you use Chrome, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a coupon extension that when you get ready to check out anywhere, you can click the button and it'll go out and it'll find out if there's a coupon.
Ooh, an extension.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to even find even better deals.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right.
Very cool. All right.
Well, so I think it was last week that we talked just briefly about manuals.
Yes, we did.
And about finding manuals.
Well, as opposed to automatics.
Yeah. And I mentioned that I keep manuals in a Dropbox of products. So I've got everything at my fingertips. Well,
yep.
So
I do the same thing.
I stumbled across this, cause there was a guy named Alex Haar who tweeted to Minovate about this link, and it's called The Shady World of Repair Manuals, Copywriting for Planned Obsolescence. And it's not about user manuals, like user guides or that kind of thing. It's about repair manuals and how companies are making them, go away basically. And then the sites that offer manuals, and you can subscribe to the site and you can download all the ones you want or whatever. But they're essentially the companies are claiming copyright to get them off these sites. And killing the manuals kills these service tech businesses.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the manuals to work off anymore. And really, to service any complex product, you have to have that stuff.
Yep.
So it's... people are getting a little bit pissed off about this.
Well, this is only going to get worse if the TPP gets approved.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So this is a bad, 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 bad.
Yep.
Bad for consumers. Good for the companies, you know? So if you're into it for companies, by all means. But, yeah, this is bad for consumers.
Yep.
Hmm.
So call your elected... officials today and tell them vote no for TPP, although I'm sure that our senators will vote for it, and most of the people in the House except for the conservative members,
right,
you know. But I don't know, maybe they'll all vote for it. Actually, it's actually funny when you look at the opposition to TPP, it's all across the board.
Oh, I know.
Believe me, libertarians are against it. Some Republicans are against it, and some Democrats are. But then, on the other hand, a lot of Republicans and a lot of Democrats are for it, including our president.
I'm so confused.
I know. Anyway. Good thing we don't have a show talking politics, right?
That's right. Yeah. Right.
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 All right. So I put this one in. I put this one in. This next story about encryption for you, Steve.
Well, and I am going to talk about that in the security tip, but it's just like the whole Paris thing is just simply an excuse.
It is an excuse
To bring up the debate again about opening up, putting a back door in encryption. In fact, I got so upset about it that on the 18th, I wrote a post called "Is Congress Really Gearing Up for an Encryption Battle?" And it's about Senator Richard Burr, a Republican from North Carolina, that is introducing a bill, or has introduced a bill, to essentially prompt tech companies to make sure that there's a back door in their products. Yeah. And they just simply don't work.
No.
But you know what? I'm going to put some links in the show notes, because in that post, I've got a little update drop down right at the beginning. And there's two links in there, that U.S. mass surveillance doesn't have a record of thwarting large terror attacks. And the other one was, after endless demonization of encryption, police find Paris attackers coordinated via unencrypted SMS.
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
It's like, this is that whole thing had nothing to do with encryption whatsoever. So thank you, Tim, for putting that in.
Yeah, and the other bogus story in this whole thing was the PlayStation 4 being used. Apparently, that was mentioned, and a lot of stories came out about that. But
I missed that part.
It's unclear. It looks like they were using the PlayStation 4 to play video games.
No. Wait, what? Really?
Yes.
Say it ain't so.
They weren't using it to coordinate and to call each other and whatnot, so...
Oh my God!
But of course, Sony gets hit, you know, with the whole deal.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just it's not good. Hopefully, cooler heads will prevail, and we will not see all of our favorite apps like Signal, which I have on my phone, just so I can send secret messages to you guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
When the time comes,
I haven't gotten a secret message from you. Yet.
Well, you never know. Yeah, you never know when it's going to arrive.
Well, you know what's interesting is
it might say something like buy 6 months of bad tasting food.
Yeah. Well, but here's what's interesting is, and I have not tested this yet, but you know, AT&T, for example, now offers Wi-Fi calling. So if you're on Wi-Fi, you can have your phone set so you can do Wi-Fi calling, and and there's other mobile providers that do the same thing throughout the world. And so what was really interesting is I read a guy's blog post a few days ago, and he talked about doing Wi-Fi calling. And he said, you know, there are times when you don't even know whether or not you're calling over Wi-Fi. And he said, it's not encrypted. And I thought, wait, what? And so I haven't dug into this enough, but the kicker is, but the kicker is, let's say that you're like I was at Lawson Software working in strategic alliances, and I'm having a conversation with the SVP of mergers and acquisitions, and we're talking about acquiring a company that happens to be public, and somebody's eavesdropping on that conversation. So now you're screwed, right?
Well, wouldn't it be secure if you used a VPN to connect to the, you know?
Yeah, but typically a VPN over public Wi-Fi is fine when you're doing data sorts of stuff. But if you're doing voice, you know, I think the packet loss is going to be pretty profound.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the only thing. But this the Signal app is pretty low. I mean, it'll adjust to speeds and so on. So that works pretty well. Anyway, we'll talk more about it in a little bit. But in the meantime, we have to mention our buddies at Apple.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was foreshadowing right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Foreshadowing. Yes. Yes. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Sorry, it's a tease.
Yeah. Well, this first story about Apple, Tim Cook says we're not going to create a converged MacBook and iPad, which totally hoses up one of my predictions for this year.
Yeah, and that's why I just bought a Surface.
Did you really?
Did you buy a Surface?
I did. I bought a Surface Pro.
Wow.
Yep. Wow.
With the handy dandy type cover too. It's really good, actually, for a little bitty cover that also has a keyboard in it. Huh. So, yeah.
Wow.
And that's why, because I gave up on my my iPad Pro dream.
Why did you give up on your iPad Pro?
Because Tim Cook said they were never going to make one, and so I took him at his word and I said, "Okay, well, screw you. I'm going to go with the other team."
Well, no. I don't think you've made a bad choice. I mean, Surface has really gotten good reviews, so
it really has.
Yeah. I've only had it for a day, and it's really nice, actually.
Yeah,
it's very very nicely built. The screen is very very bright and very high retina quality.
And the keyboard, how does it feel? Does it feel
keyboard
good?
Keyboard feels just like a laptop. It's actually quite nice. Yeah.
Well, and I think Microsoft's strategy of investing and doing good things for other platforms like the Mac is going to pay off, because the transition isn't that dramatic. I mean, when I use the new Office for the Mac, I am still blown away by how great that is. And for me, if I was going to be using Office all the time on a Surface, it kind of wouldn't, you know, the operating system kind of wouldn't matter in a lot of ways.
Windows 10 is actually pretty good. So yeah, I miss Mac OS to a certain degree, but, you know, Windows 10, especially if you're using it in desktop mode, is actually quite usable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, and the other Apple news, I don't know where you found this. Obviously, you're poking around, but
9 to 5 Mac
rendering shows spectacular plans for a new Frank Lloyd Wright style Prairie School Apple store on the Chicago River.
Yeah, it looks
and
beautiful.
It does look, and I know exactly where this is, and it's actually a really great location. So that's pretty cool. And, and just think, they can have little leprechauns in the window during St. Paddy's Day because they make the river go green, and, you know, it'll be great.
Little leprechauns.
I see a road trip coming up when they open this thing.
There we go.
I will listen to you guys. Hey, that would be the ultimate fanboy road trip.
It would be. I love
We're driving 8 hours to go to the Apple Store opening. Yeah.
Yeah, bud.
Oh, Well, and this was a story that didn't make it in, and it may not be that big of a deal, but I got to tell you, I am deeply impressed with Google Plus. And they just rolled out the new Google Plus, and the kicker is I hardly use it. But it looks great. It's really well put together.
It's one of the best kept graveyards in America.
Still, there are millions of people using it. But look at what they've done. Just recently, they came out with a new Google Hangouts, which is fabulous. So much better than the previous one. They have this thing where they have collections, so you can follow collections. So there's an Android ecosystem, devices, apps, and so on. One on architecture, neuroscience. I mean, there's just everything you can think of. And it's just, I don't know, it's just visually, it's appealing as hell. I just think that they really knocked it out of the park. It's just nobody uses it.
Well, no, that's not totally true. There are a lot of communities, and I'm active in some of them, and it's good for that. And a lot of the people in those communities really hate this redesign. I actually like it because I think it's a material design, which is the language that Google has in Android, and it's very nicely done. Change for a lot of people is tough. Yeah. So once you're used to something in one way, it's difficult to make the switch, but I personally like it. I use Google Plus every day, and hopefully more people will get into it. I don't think it'll ever be like a Facebook killer, but it's a good alternative, especially for communities. It's much better than hanging out in
Google support groups.
Those old forums. Remember right. those?
Right.
And there's still a lot of those around.
Exactly. Well, and I hang out every once in a while in the WordPress group, mm-hmm. and there's 20 some thousand people in it, and it's run by this woman, Laurel Van Vossen, you probably know her. I mean, she's been around WordPress forever, and she's one of the brain trusts of people involved in WordPress. And what's nice is that unlike Facebook, which is interesting. And I'm connected to family and all of that, but a lot of the articles and especially the comments they don't take the high road by any stretch of the imagination. It's partisan bickering and it's people screaming at each other, and I get sick of it. And at least Google Plus, it's people doing value added sorts of discussion things and putting in interesting things. So from that standpoint, it's pretty great. But anyway, hey, this thing with emojis,
with the tears of joy being the word of the year,
word of the year,
Oxford Dictionary.
Yep.
It's a sign of the apocalypse.
Well, it is a sign of the apocalypse, but
have to wait for the 12th Imam. It's already come. Here it is.
So my wife
tears of joy emoji.
My wife does trends for the home furnishings industry, and she was at the kids show, and I got to tell you, emojis are a big deal. It's on trend. People are building product that's emoji related.
Back in my day, we had ASCII art and we liked it.
Oh God, here we go. Tim's going to print out the Snoopy again.
Yes,
that's
he is.
Right.
That's a fun article though. I mean, it is. I don't know if you watch Stephen Colbert, but he had Jane Fonda on the other night and he had all these different emojis. Feminist emojis he was showing her, and new ones to come up with to get a reaction. And I don't know, it was kind of a fun bit. But anyway, that's just another proof point that emojis are a big deal. So
use them every day.
That's right.
I'm sure you do.
BuzzFeed, we are the kings of the emoji.
I did not see the hard-hitting BuzzFeed version of this story, though. I'll have to go look for it.
I probably ought to go do some digging too. I bet you there's an emoji attached.
Oh yes. Why did they pick Tears of Joy though?
I don't know why Tears of Joy.
An odd one. I would pick the happy face perhaps.
The question is it the emoji in general or is it this particular emoji?
That specific one is the word of the year.
Yeah, it's the word of the year, but they chose it as an explosion. Cited an explosion in emoji culture.
Right.
And that's the reason why it was selected. That's what it says.
I actually see the joy emoji probably the least compared to.
I had never seen it until.
Because you know why? They didn't have the balls to do the poop emoji. Because that's the emoji.
That's right.
Of the year.
I don't know if I would use the word balls, but you know, anyway.
The cojones.
That's right. Okay.
The stones.
The stones. They didn't have the poop.
Yeah, because the poop emoji. Now that would have been that would be it.
That's right. And you know what? You know what poops?
Everything.
Horses.
Oh, they do?
They do.
They do.
Steve security to the free.
They do poop. Anyway, so
you know why that is.
Yeah.
Everybody poops.
That's right. I have a security tip of the week, and my security tip is going to be relatively short, but the bottom line is use encryption now, even though Congress, the UK Parliament, and other Western governmental leaders are rattling their sabers over encryption and terrorism, right, using the Paris events as a way to bring up the debate again. And so I've been reading a bunch of different articles, and I'm going to put some links in the show notes, but, you know, this is something that's near and dear to my heart, especially since I just got done working with a group that is, involved in, venture capital and strategic work with, not only Fortune 100s, but, down to startups. And, they were using weak passwords, and they were not encrypting stuff, and they're throwing things into a public Dropbox folder and then sharing the link, and you know, all sorts of different practices that were really putting them in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And so there are five things that I think you should do, and that is get a password manager and use strong passwords.
Okay.
Because a password manager will encrypt it. Second thing is use a VPN. I'm a broken record on that, but oh my God, don't ever be on public Wi-Fi without one. Don't enter any sensitive information ever, ever, ever on a website unless it's HTTPS, SSL, and you're connected via that VPN on public Wi-Fi. But here's one that a lot of people don't even consider. You can do it on Windows and OS X. Encrypt your hard drive. On Windows, it's BitLocker. On OS X, it's File Vault. And in both cases, they're just seamless. They unlock the entire drive. So rather than have to decrypt stuff on the fly every time you open up a new file, it doesn't work like that anymore. Once it's open, you can get to everything. And so it's key to do that. And you should do it with your external thumb or spinning drives as well, thumb drives and spinning drives. And number five is use the Signal app on your iPhone or Android device, because you can do both encrypted text and voice calls to other Signal users over Wi-Fi or over your data connection if you want to use that. And that's my tip of the week.
Okay. Where does one find the encryption for the file block or the file vault and the...
Is that a settings thing?
You go into the settings. Yeah,
it's in your control panel on Windows. Right. And in the Mac, in the top row of system preferences, there's one called Security and Privacy. And there's a file vault tab, and you can go in there and turn it on. And just let your machine run. Depending on how big your hard drive is, it takes a little time, but it'll encrypt the whole thing. And so, you know, like my laptop, I use File Vault on it, and the 1 terabyte drive I carry around with me is also encrypted. And I have a firmware password on the laptop. So if it gets stolen, A, somebody can't get into it. B, they can't even, you know, re-image. They're going to have to remove the hard drive and throw it away and put a new one in there to be able to use the laptop,
right?
Because it'll be a brick.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, just want to be safe.
Very cool. Okay, it's time for the cool thing of the weeks.
Yep.
Cool things of the week.
Well, let's go with Tim because it's. Well, I was going to diss it, but go ahead, Tim.
Well, I picked Microsoft Windows because yesterday was the 30th anniversary of Windows version 1, which came out November 20th, 1985.
Wow.
And if you look at EdBot's story.
If you look at that screen, that story, if you look at that screen, that's what the MHTA website used to look like. Just what
it is. Oh, man.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Tim.
Yeah, I never used Windows 1 or Windows 2. I got into it at Windows for Work Groups, which was Windows 3 point something, 3.1, I think. And that was in the early 90s. I want to say it was 93 or 4. And I'd used Macs all through that period from the time the Mac came out. And before that, I used an Apple II. And so I really never used the early versions. I only used the later ones, which tended to actually be usable. And it's amazing to look back at all these screenshots in this article and to see how far they've come.
Well, just before that, in July, was when Back to the Future came out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that and you think, boy, look at how far we've come with Windows in that time, my God.
Yep.
Well, just that interface, you know, just the whole desktop metaphor, how dramatic the difference is. Wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I saw that and I said, you know what? I'm gonna stick that in.
You know, you see some of the old screenshots and, you know, I flash back on the memories of the large, what were they, 7-inch disks, floppies, and the
five-inch
floppies, and then all the floppy drives you had hanging around, or disks running around. Yep. Damn. Very cool.
I remember when the floppy went to that plastic, the little plastic one. And man, that was the future.
That was so cool.
Yeah. Well, Phil, I want you to go next because mine's not nearly as cool.
Oh, I think this may be a
I should go next. Wait, well,
okay, go ahead.
I did that in reverse. Should go next because yours is much cooler than mine.
I don't know. Yours is a really pretty good looking board.
Well, so what it is, it's called the lap pad. And right now I use a big pillow on the sofa when we're sitting in the family room to put
my
laptop
on.
Which is
much cheaper, by the way. Yes.
Well, it is much cheaper, but the laptop ends up getting hot. My MacBook Pro, you know, gets hot on the bottom because it's sitting on fabric. So this thing is bamboo and it's got slats underneath it so that you can, so the thing can breathe basically. But what I really like is the slot that you can prop your iPad or your iPhone or your smartphone, I should say. And then it has a little mouse pad area as well. And you think, well, wait a minute, you're using a laptop. What the hell are you using a mouse for? Well, when I'm doing work in InDesign, for example, doing page layout stuff, I have to have a mouse. I can't use a trackpad because it's just not precise enough. Mm-hmm. And so this would be a great little addition to be able to have the mouse as well. And I thought, this is awesome. And so I put it on my birthday list.
$79.
Yeah.
Dude, I could rock one of these out of some wood I got upstairs. So in the attic, we could probably get you something going here.
Well,
project.
Become a maker, Phil, and do that for me.
All right.
So what's yours?
I want to point out that you'll probably still put this on top of the pillow.
No, I won't.
It's a board. Anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, mine I think as a repeat, but I bought one for the office and took delivery of it from Hammacher Schlemmer, the BB-8 drone from Sphero, the Sphero drone that looks like BB-8 from the upcoming Star Wars.
Yep.
This thing's a lot of fun. I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun. It doesn't, you know, I think it's they've got the cute factor down, and it's functional enough that you can enjoy playing with it. And I think that dogs and cats alike will enjoy the hell out of it.
Well, I got to tell you that I was at the Southdale Apple Store, and I walked by Brookstone.
Yep.
And they had some guy standing out in front with it. You know, he had it on the floor.
Yep.
And zipping the thing around, and I stood and talked to him for a while, and I just said, "So you know, this thing is just so awesome, because he knew everything about it, and he could make it do stuff that I'd never seen before, even in the videos. Right. And I said, so what are people's reaction to it? And he goes, they think it's the coolest thing ever until I tell them the price.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, $150 is
$150,
and it's steep.
And it's about the size of a racquetball or a handball.
It's smaller than you think it's
going to be. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's smaller than you think it is.
But it's
kind of ingenious the way they kind of have the little head that sits on top of it. It's obviously, you know, it's connected by a magnet that moves around, and there's wheels on this thing on the headpiece. It reminds me of the old mouse, you know, the old fashioned mouse. So that means also that you will have to clean it. But it does have a bit of a personality. So I think they've done a great job with this. I don't think anybody other than Sphero could have pulled it off, because they had that technology already in place. But it's one of those things that it's not, if we weren't earning Amazon points through some of the vendors that we use, I never would have bought it. But, you know, we thought, what the hell? Have a little office toy. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, do you ever watch Bloomberg West? It's a show that they have on in the afternoon, and sometimes I'll just turn it on. I'll just flip it on while I'm working. And it's done from, you know, the backdrop is San Francisco Bay, and they are, I think, in the old Levi's building, overlooking the bay. And they had the founder of the company that built this, whose the name escapes me now, but that's the first place that I saw that, and I watch it because there's really some really interesting emerging stuff that shows up, and they actually talk to these people for a while, and so I just want to throw that out, because that's the first place that I saw this little BB-8, and they talked about what they had to go through to build it. And it was pretty formidable engineering.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. Yeah. I think it's a great toy. If you've got disposable income.
I picked this one back in September. So you're right.
Yes, that's right.
It's a retread.
It is a repeat.
And I have to say, from my son has one, and he has two cats, and they both love it.
Yes, they do. My dog was somewhat nonplussed. She's like, what's that?
Really?
Kind of watching it go back and forth. That was about it. So,
well, upcoming events,
you know,
this time of year, it always slows down a little bit because we're all so busy with holiday stuff.
Tis the holidays.
But Mobile Twin Cities is IoT for the holidays on December 1st at the BuzzFeed office.
Yep.
And
we'll have Justin Grammons will be there to talk about the state of IoT, and we have the folks from Verizon coming out. So hopefully they'll bring along some of their IoT gadgets to share.
Sweet.
Holiday gift ideas.
Sweet.
So, and then Mini Analytics does marketing. Mama 2, I believe, is what they're going to call that, right?
Right, exactly. And then Star Wars, The Force Awakens on
I had to
Friday
put that
the
one.
18th.
That one, I had to put that one.
Yeah.
In.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is if you're interested in going to see this movie, just plan on maybe seeing it sometime in January
or March.
I pre-purchased tickets weeks ago, because we have a tradition in our family that we go to see Star Wars, and I introduced my kids to Star Wars, even though they had seen it on VHS tapes before. When the re-releases came out, I took them, and they were, you know, smaller kids back in those days. And now they're adults, and I'm going to take them again on the 23rd to see this movie.
Fun.
And of course, I will have seen it because we're going to see it on the 18th, and my son will have seen it because he's a big Star Wars nerd. So we'll just enjoy it a second time.
Sounds great.
Wow.
But yeah, I think you've had to pre-order your tickets, you know, by now.
I suppose there's any tickets available anymore.
I don't know. I would have to go look, but it's going to be a big opening. And every time I see a new trailer or a new TV commercial, there's some other bit of information. It looks like it's going to be a great movie.
Well, and you know what?
And hopefully it will.
I got to tell you that J.J. Abrams really did an unbelievably great job on Star Trek. And
second Star Trek was the best Star Wars movie that's not a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what this one's like. So I think it's going to be outstanding. But anyway, we will talk about all kinds of different stuff when we chat with you guys next week on
the Minivate Gang podcast.
All right. Take care.
Have a good week.